Studies in the Gospel of John. Chapter 5. Jesus and Nicodemus, a new man. Human nature was the same 1900 years ago that it is today. Nicodemus opened his conversation with the Lord in the same way that men now greet a preacher. Doctor, that sermon just suited me. It was just what I have always believed. The height of some people's religion seems to be attained in complimenting the preacher. An able man preaches just what I believe. It is well to encourage a minister, as well as any other laborer. But the best encouragement any true minister of the gospel can receive is to see the truths that he presents accepted and put into practice. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We have no reason to doubt the sincerity of the words of Nicodemus when he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him. But Jesus himself knew that he had come from God, even though every man denied it, and so he did not need any assurance from men to encourage him. He therefore ignored the compliment and came straight to realities. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was willing enough to acknowledge that Jesus was a teacher come from God, yet as soon as Jesus brought the truth home to his own heart, laying bare its need, he was irritated and began to argue with the master. There was never a teacher so great, nor clothed with so great authority, nor such good credentials, that men would not argue with him about that of which he is master, and they know nothing, if it does not coincide with their preconceived ideas, or with their practices. Indeed, the teacher from God is really the only one whose words are challenged to any great extent. When a man comes talking words of his own imagination, the multitude are ready to receive him without any protest. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. The new birth is necessary, not merely that one may enter heaven, but that one may be a Christian. The kingdom of God is here and now. John on Patmos was, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, God the Father has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Christ has loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God. But the kingdom has no sort of connection with the kingdoms of earth. Christ admitted before Pilate that he was a king, but he said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So little harmony is there between the kingdom of God and this world that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. In order to belong to that kingdom, or even to see it, a man must be made over entirely new. He must be a new creature, fashioned and controlled wholly by the Spirit of God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Flesh and blood cannot reveal the Son of God, nor can flesh and blood comprehend the things that pertain to his kingdom. And Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. But as it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, either have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, either does corruption inherit incorruption. In order therefore to be really a subject of the kingdom of God, one must be delivered from the flesh. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, either indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and gave himself for me. What have we in all this? Just this, that to be a Christian indeed, which is the same as entering the kingdom of God, one must be as much different from what he is by nature as what he is by nature is different from what he was before he had any existence. Think of the body as literally dead, and awaiting burial. Now it has no connection whatever with anything in this world. Its life is ended, its love, and hatred, and envy are now perished. Also their love, and their hatred, and their envy, is now perished. Either have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Now think of the coming of the Spirit of God, and entering that body. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit now makes that body alive, but its life is wholly that of the Spirit. The Spirit, having rescued it from death, has sole control of it. It is animated and moved by the Spirit alone. It breathes only the atmosphere of heaven. It is evident that such a body would be indeed a new man, and its life would be perfectly pleasing to God. The flesh is the same that it was before, but it is kept under by the Spirit. The man no longer fulfills the desires of the flesh, for the flesh cannot assert itself, instead of being subject to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2 verse 2, it is wholly guided by the Spirit from above. The only question is it possible for the Spirit of God thus to take possession of and control a body here in this world? The answer is found in the life of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, so that he breathed in the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. But can any other person have the same experience? Most certainly, for Christ came for that very purpose. He did not need to come to this earth on his own account. The fact that the Spirit had complete possession of his body, which was just the same as the body of any other person born of a woman, shows that the Spirit can dwell in and control anybody that is willing. He has power over all flesh. As to the making a new man, that is taught to us in nature every day, for God is in nature teaching us gospel lessons. The things that we see, and of which we have experience, are to teach us concerning the things of the kingdom of God. You cut your finger, and it soon heals. A severe wound is suffered, but in a short time new flesh, new skin, new nerves, and even new bones are formed. Every day our bodies are throwing off old substance, and new matter is taking its place. Thus our youth is renewed. Someone may say, that is only a physiological change. True enough, but it is a change effected only by the power of the life of God. In everything that is made, the everlasting power and divinity of God are seen, and he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If we are willing that the work should be done, that power which works in us day by day, to keep us in life, will work far above the highest flights of imagination, to make us wholly new creatures in Christ. The power is present, and all that is necessary is that we yield to it. Why? Says one. I thought that it was a mystery. So it is. Do you understand the mystery of life and growth? As you know not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so you know not the works of God who makes all. Jesus in his talk to Nicodemus indicated that the work of the Holy Spirit in effecting the new birth is like that which we call the operations of nature. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes, nor where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It was a thing to be wondered at that a master in Israel did not know these things. Strange that the wise men who are continually observing the working of God in the things that are made, should stumble over the question of the new birth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe, if I tell you of heavenly things? The study of natural phenomena leads to the knowledge of God, and true science is the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation.